Okay, Yvonne, it's all yours.
Oh, but it's a long ways away for you to handle the dinosaur.
June 21st, 1978, speaking to Henry Bettis in Hughes. What I'm going to be doing while I'm talking to you, sometimes I'll look there. I'm still listening to you, but you can see that just monitors how loud you're talking. So maybe we could just start off by where you were born and when.
Yeah, I was born here in Houston, 32, January 6th. I've been raised here ever since, been living here. I'm married, got a family.
Maybe you could tell me your parents' names.
My dad, Fred Beifelt, he was living here. After my mother died, he moved to the next village named Fuslia. So he remarried again. I got younger brothers and sisters down here too.
When did your mother die?
I was a year and a half old when she died.
Do you remember your name?
Just skips, that's all that. Remember seeing her. Mm-hmm.
So where your father said Beifelt, where was he born and raised?
I believe he was born and raised here too.
Did you know your grandparents?
Not on my dad's side, but on my mother's side, that's where I was adopted. That's where I got the name Edis.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. After my mother died, my grandparents adopted me.
So who were your grandparents? On the mother's side, what
was Ida. Ida was my grandmother. Little Edis, Leon is my mom's dad. He died, and then Edis married Ida afterwards.
Yeah. Gerald was saying that he kind of grew up with him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like a son.
Yeah.
We saw some pictures when we were little.
Uh-huh.
We used to spend time out in our camp with him.
At the fish camp, 15 miles?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I start to remember pretty good since I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, the older I'm getting, that I picked up more of it. People tell me and what I seen the people do, that's where I learned to make my living too.
Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you remember when you were seven?
Fishing.
Fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of things were you doing and what did you see people doing?
Well, mostly when I was seven, I wasn't old enough to hunt with the old man, so I was mostly home with my grandmother. Trying to help her do fishing.
Mm-hmm. Did she used to tell you stories after fishing?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
In the evening.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the stories or any of the things you learned from her in the story?
Well, what I learned is right now, I believe I learned more and the stories she told me and what I learned from by myself by working. Because at the time when she was telling me stories, at the time I really couldn't understand the stories. But right now, when I get older, I remember the words she told me, and that's where I learned. I get to understand it more after 20, 30 years afterwards.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden. Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah,
we don't have any sugar in there.
No, it's okay.
But we got that.
No.
So you were born in 1946?
32.
What was Hughes like then? What kind of place was Hughes?
I believe before that, in the 20s, that's when the gold mine used to first started back. Utopia Creek is the place where they found gold, and it's where it started from. And after they mined that out, they moved further up on the creek and up into a different branch. It's named Indian Creek.
How did you think?
I don't even know, but that's the name of the creek anyway. Right from the mouth. And the mouth of the river is the name, Indian River. He was. Yeah, Alfred Isaac. I really couldn't believe what year he found the gold, but he was the first one up there. It's all foot. No machinery. Well, they used to have a horse here, I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they must have got hay for it then. They have to have something. Yeah. But they mostly bring their gear up there by packing in the summertime. People carry 100 pounds on their back, go all the way 22 miles with it. By barge. You just have the steamboats before they start having the motors.
Go out to winter camp and spring camp when you're growing up? Where would you go for spring camp and winter camp?
Well, for winter camp, we used to, when I first remember, we used to go over Hog River. And after that, my old man, my grandparents, and they moved down to a different area. We had camped down 8 Mile. And we trap and hunt out of there just to make a living.
Was that pretty good in hunting and trapping
there? Well, it wasn't really good, but after old man gets so old, that was the best line he can have, where if he didn't have to go too far to, I guess that's where he left Hog River. His trip got to be too long for him. We used to have five to six dogs. That's a big team these days.
Mm-hmm.
Not really large dog. We never did have any bigger dogs than what I have now. I remember we never used to ride with those four or five dogs, that we used to walk steady. Onto the back, wherever. And whenever there's snow on a trail, we have to walk ahead of dogs with snowshoes.
How old were you when your grandpa started having you walk in front, breaking the moon?
Well, I started going out with him in winter when I was 9 years old.
Did he have to start walking in front of the team
now? Not very often. When it's good going, well, he was going easy on me. And mm-hmm. When there's deep snow, I walk behind sleigh. Mm-hmm. All we had was four dogs then. And it used to take about 4 days, 3 to 4 days to go over where Joe got cabin now, 40 miles. Mm-hmm. On the way over, we spent a day or two in each place to check trap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just come in to get food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Some years used to be good first, but some years it was wasn't very much.
Did your grandma stay out at the cabin too when you came?
After the first year, around the middle of January, we used to move out and stay out there about month and a half. Mm-hmm. Come back in March.
Was it with three of you? Or
yeah.
Was there anybody else
with you? When I was smaller, when before Joe get married, used to be a Martha was one of them, and Maggie used to have two sleighs then to move out, but after they got on their own, I was the only one that left with the parents.
So how old were you then?
Must be probably about 7 or 8, I guess. Because I was 9 when I started playing out with all of them.
You know, I'm still curious about you.
Pardon?
I'm still curious about when you were born.
I believe it was, yeah.
So does that mean that, what was the town like then? Was it still plenty of gold around and all that?
Yeah, in the 30s, there were machineries coming in, like cats and drag line coming in to start moving the dirt. But before that, they used to mine by hand, by shoveling. Yeah, the quite a few just they go up there and work the ways. And there's more too at Prospect in the area trying to find their own gold. There's a lot of prospectors. Not only up here, at all the creeks along the Kaikuk River, they were all checked. That's all by hand, yeah. Yeah.
So when you're born in Hughes, there's about You think there's mostly white people living here?
No, there were more native, but they never live in town all the time, not like us. They always stay at fish camp or winter camp or spring camp.
You were born right here in Houston. What kind of a place?
In a cabin, I believe. I don't remember the day, but yeah.
So the cabin.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah. It used to be. When I remember, it used to be about, 8 or 9 cabins.
Is that cabin you're born in? Is that
no, no. Mm-hmm.
You want me to talk up?
Yeah, I'm not getting the questions.
Okay. Is there a cabin that looks something like the cabin that you were born in? Like maybe Joe's old house or?
Couldn't be biggest. Because what we have now, but it's a shame, same material, logs. Uh-huh.
Well, that's good, because, that means what we can do is we can get a picture of, say, maybe a cabin,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to have a dirt roof, right now. Everybody had tin roofs.
Do they have tin on top of the dirt? Do they have no dirt up there?
They have, you don't, right now?
Yeah.
Right now they use insulation.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But those days, back in the 20s, it used to be all dirt roof, they were not tin.
Yeah, there's a picture of you helping Joe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's when I was so probably. I must be 10, 11 years old then, maybe, something like that, somewhere around there.
Yeah, people tell me the church is the best place.
Yeah, they used to have poles, and they used to put so thick, could be 5 or 6 inch thick moss, layer of moss on the poles. And they put about, anywhere to 4 to 5 inches dirt on it, packed. That's what to keep the water off the.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, insulation is in sheet iron is you don't leak, you know.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. A dirt roof it used to leak pretty much when there's rain. Like a certain dirt. Might be all right, but when I remember when it's raining, we used to have a leaked roof. Gotta just keep move the sinks where water is dripping, or put a pan or something there.
That's what we do now.
Yeah.
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 I remember not to put something like that in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you were born, were there certain things that people would do, like where, used to be, I guess, that if a woman was going to have a baby, she would. Men would go take a walk or something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I remember days, times. There used to be all women in the house. You know how to deliver. Only when there's man and wife by themselves out to camp, that's the only time the man can help deliver. That used to be done too.
Did anybody ever tell you what it was like to be a monk?
Well, I guess my grandmother delivered me. She was the doctor. She didn't tell me, but ever since I remember, she was always helping.
Well, you know, wondering the other things you remember when you were 7, when you first start remembering, what kind of things you might have been learning then? Things that might be different from kids now or the same?
Yeah, what only thing I was learning at the time is how my grandparents was working to make a living. And right now, things are different. Kids can just go play and never really not keep track of how their parents is working. Those days, there weren't that many kids, so I got nobody to play with. So the only thing for me to do is just follow my grandmother. And when I first remember, she was cutting fish in fish camp. That's when I fishing for this little fish with a pin needle hook, homemade hook. She made that for me. And I was really enjoying catching those little fish. They're small. No, it's little white fishes. They're all mixed. And I was really enjoying catching those fish. I thought I was catching something big, you know.
It is like jerky and rice.
How many of those little fish would you catch in a day?
Oh, couldn't be much sometime, but just the part, it's only when I really enjoy catching it, that's only time we really go at it. And that's not every, it's all day. You know how kids right now, they get tired of some certain subject and they can... they do. And that's just the way I was doing.
Yeah. What would you do with those little fish after
this? While I was playing make-believe, I was cutting it and drying it. But it wasn't worth it. But when I see my grandmother cut fish, so I was cutting it.
You actually had a knife? And
yeah, a little knife.
Did you take
the
back one out?
Maybe I had a few. Not every one, I don't think.
You had a little drying rack on the one?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bitty.
Oh, you made everything just like fish?
Yeah, something like just coffee.
Did she kind of help you and show you how to do it?
No, I just get the idea of what kind of fish rack they're using, what kind of smokehouse.
You had a smokehouse
too? Well,
you made your own little smokehouse
too? I remember I had, after I was, not when I was 7, but later I had a little bitty smokehouse, but I had a little cloth tied over it. I had that too. I remember that. I think that.
Did you do anything else with your grandma while she was cutting fish? Like, I know some people would take the eggs and put them in the little sacks, you know, and dry it. Did you have to do that? Dry the eggs.
Yeah, that's this little loon lack and whitefish stomach. My grandma used to put eggs in there and dry it so it wouldn't fall apart. You know. some salmon eggs, when the ones are solid together, so you can hide them like that. Mm. But the ones are loose, so you use just a little plastic bag, just like this little tin white, it's in your whitefish stomach, and that's what she used to. Mm-hmm.
Did she ever have you do it, or did she do it?
Well, I probably try to help, but not very much. Not. Mm-hmm.
What kind of people would you see go past while you're at fish camp? What kind of people were on the river then?
Well, they used to have river boats to the barge. And when I remember, they had inboard motors then. Black Navigation, George Black, used to have a stern wheeler. It was the largest boat he had. Well, I don't know how big the stern wheel is, but that was the largest boat that I know of.
Do you remember the name of that boat?
Idler.
Idler?
Mm. And they had another one, smaller, a little bit smaller boat with an inboard. Yes, it had prop, and they used to carry mail with that one, and that used to go by, I believe it's once a month during summer. It goes all the way up to, I don't know really how far they drive the boat, but from where they can go, there's more people that take over, deliver the mail to, I believe, Forrest Weissman. And that part was just by pulling. Lining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the water gets shallow. Yeah, they used to have, but I don't remember which year that the horses left up the area, but they used to have it quite a bit. They used to have it to line up with a little scow. That's what the old man used to say. He used to work. Because before he married Grandma Ida, they used to live up there, and that he used to spend quite a bit of time with prospectors to make a buck.
What did he tell you about these prospectors?
Pardon?
What did he tell you about the prospectors? Did he ever tell you stories about them?
Oh, yeah, he used to tell me a lot of stories about them. That's just about how he worked for them. And summertime, they can haul a freight with boat, just pulling boat, line up. In wintertime, they can haul with dog team, dog sleds.
Did you ever tell you about any particular guys? Like, do I hear about different characters? I don't know if I know what they're doing. But these prospectors knew the fact that we're not the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't stay in the village or anything.
No.
They're probably a little strange.
I guess they do, but I guess they enjoy being out there all winter. I heard there were some just be out there, just a prospect all winter by himself. And just some used to be out there prospect and trap same time.
I guess there are all kinds, from people who took care of themselves to some who didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about when you were at fish camp and you'd see these boats going up river. What did you think about them when you'd see the story you were in?
Well, they only come by once a month, but whenever I see them, but that's it. It's just like looking at big jet with a loaded the passenger lamp in a huge light now. That was something like that. When I just, it could have been moving over 5-6 miles an hour, maybe slower than that, moving upstream. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the stern wheeler, no. It doesn't make, I don't know how, what kind of motor it had, but it was geared down where it don't, the wheel don't spin so fast to steady, slow and steady.
How did you know?
Uh huh. Yeah, we can hear it.
How far away would it be when you could hear it?
Oh, could it be? Couldn't be too far. Could it be about a mile or a little better than a mile? Mm-hmm. Afterwards, when the motor started getting to be a bigger, we can hear them a long ways.
Mm-hmm. Did you run out to the bank and uh-huh.
see that? Yeah.
People waved back at you.
Well, the black navigation, the mail boat they had, that one used to land in every camp to pick up a litter or deliver. Uh-huh, yes, and there's times that we had anything to ship out, to land and pick it up.
How long did they stay? Who would talk to you?
No, they never waste much time. They just land to drop off what they're hauling or pick up what they're gonna haul. That's the only time they.
Mm-hmm. I guess if they visited the place, they might be getting off the
way. Yeah, uh-huh. Well, but they were working for wages. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would they stop every time they go by, or would
they? If there's anything to pick up to. They gave him a signal. I know my grandma. No, my grandpa used to use a white little sheet, little white sheet, to wave them down with, and that was all. Uh huh. Yeah.
Did you ever think about riding on the steam wheels?
Well, at the time, I probably wish I would, but they wouldn't. They never did give people a ride, and until after that, is Evans Wilford Evans used to have a freighting boat too. That when he used to give us ride back when, if we're right here in Hughes and want to go back up to our camp, we can tie our boat onto his barge and tow us up there. I guess George Black would have too if we asked him, but we never did. I never remember traveling with him. Wilford Evans, I remember traveling up to Alcacket with him too in springtime.
Mm-hmm. Was that all business too, or would you get to visit and have a good time while you're going up?
Well, we're moving up to Alcacket, that'll be in June. And that's the only time of year they're having their vacation. That's going up there for a fort, spend the fort up there. So they probably spent at least a week and a half or 2 weeks up there, come back down right after the fort and move back into fish camp.
How old were you then?
I really couldn't remember what year, but we used to go up there every spring. Uh huh. Yeah. Just. Yeah.
What kind of a guy is
Wilford Evans? He's up to Ellis Field.
We saw him, but we
didn't really. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's an old guy, isn't he?
Uh huh. Yeah, he's.
How about back in
Wilford? Well, he's part native, and he's pretty friendly. He had his own store up Alcacket too. He quit trading, and after that, my uncle Jimmy Huntington, he used to have a barge line too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jimmy Huntington and Sidney Huntington and my dad, Fred. You got one mother, a different father. But Jimmy and Sidney, they got one dad. My dad, he had different father.
Who's your mother?
Annie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jimmy Huntington, he used to have a store here, and after that, he moved his store down to Hog River. And I don't know how long he had the store there. That's when my grandma died down there, Annie. And my dad, Fred, he was with his grandma, Maggie, I think was her name. That's the one raised him. It's Sidney and Jimmy, they were in Alcaca too, when Jimmy Huntington used to have a store up there too. Yeah, I believe they had. Yeah, Wolford had his own store, and Jimmy Huntington had his own store too. Yeah, there were a lot of people in Alcaca. Yeah, there were a lot of people then.
There were always more people up there than
we were. Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, quite a bit more.
What was it like for some kid who was about 10 years old here in Hughes? What were the kids about 10 years old doing?
Well, every chance they get, when there's somebody doing something, they're right there with the person to help out. And that was their way of learning too. That was my education. Education was helping people whatever they do. Cut wood or whatever to do. I was always going with somebody little ways.
They welcome you to do that?
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, well, that was just like playing for me. Like, I had nobody to play with, so that was my pastime, is trying to help or be with somebody that's doing something.
Any other 10-year-old
kids now? No, not at the time when I was raised. Because my brother, Pugh Byfield, when my dad left here, he left with dad. He was big enough to travel with dad then. So they moved down to Old Cutoff, is the place they used to.
Pugh Byfield's your brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's my oldest brother. Annie Vent is my oldest sister. She's Anglina, I think.
Put a load on. halfway through, and halfway through, I took the sounding boat and went over to the sand to go talk to you.
Yeah, the Dementev, Clark Dementev, he's a cousin of ours too. Claude's mother is dad's younger sister. Yeah. Yeah, his mother came from up here. He went to school down Mission. His father was raised down Mission. That's where she.
They didn't have school
down there. No. In the 50s, we started having school here. They had a Mission school up there for quite a few years.
What did you think about that when
you were growing up?
You know, there's school other places. What did you think about that?
Well, there's times old man wanted me to go to school, but I didn't know what the school is then, so I just didn't care to leave them. Stay with them until too late for me to go to school. And back in the 50s, when they had school here, and I was already working for wages. But by then, I was married too, and I just didn't went to school.
You know, we met a lot of people that didn't go to school, or we went one year. We see those people who really respect them, and they're smart people, and really can do a lot of things I can't do. They come up to me, like, for instance, Oscar, Joe, Lee, everybody you talk to, everybody. They go, oh, and you know, I can't go to school very much. So I just look at them.
Well, Oscar and Frank Toback, I believe they went to school more than Joe does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like where I learned to work on machinery is when I went to work in mining camp in 1950. I went to work there. And Jovitas Levine, Abraham, they were working there. I went to work with this, I was helper with this one cat driver. He's from Bethel, he's native. He's got to be a good friend of mine. He started teaching me how to work on that cat. 2 weeks and I was driving it. That's just a straight run, just never use a blade. But a few years after that, I started to be an operator. And I just keep on working on it. The mechanic work on it, I help the mechanic too. That's where that little cat got to be a road one today.
What were you doing that you
did? It had a broken drive shaft in the sprocket. There were drain plug on the bottom of the inside the steering housing. That place was in drain last fall. There was water in there settling there
that it froze. Well, I guess who was driving it, he didn't know, so forgot to drain it. Next morning he started up and tried to make it go, and the gear is frozen. So it just snapped the shaft right off. So it can go, but it only got one pulling track, you know. It can't turn the other way. Only one track was handling it. So we took it apart this spring, and a friend of mine, Alfred Atta, took it apart, and we found out what the broken part. And so Alfred ordered that. Alfred, he's working down green. He's so when the part came, Alfred wasn't there, but I got little experiments with it. By learning from people, you know, not putting it back together. Well, I didn't really work on it every day. I was just donating my time anyway for the town. So it took my time to talk, and it took me so long. I waited a little too long, and now today after the light sense part came through for that